So the ministry really started in August of 2002 in Houston, Texas, while managing a low-income family complex. Amen. It was then when the Lord asked me to sell out all to follow Him. And as I rehearsed in God's goodness on this morning, I was led to just share a little bit more about telling of His goodness. Praise the Lord. I began to say, yes, Lord, to Your way, and yes, Lord, to Your will. I felt I wasn't qualified enough for Him to use me, but as you read from chapter 1 in the book about my childhood, about those cotton picking days and graduating from high school, He was preparing me every step of the way to be a vessel that He could use for His glory. And it is a must-read book about many testimonies of rough times, but the good always outweighed the bad times in my life. Chapter 2 and 3 are about moving to Houston after graduating from high school and about jobs that He blessed me with while there, titled New Adventures. And 3 share about, praise God, hallelujah, about how the Lord saved my husband and I. It's about praise God for salvation. If you want to don't know how to be saved, praise the Lord, you can read in chapter 3, read a testimony how God saved us. Amen. Chapter 4, I share about someone's watching you. It was the beginning of telling of His goodness ministry to through the apartment complex. Amen. So if you will, if you would like to order the book, you may call to me 318-305-6965, or you may text me. Praise the Lord. And now I'm blessed to have a P.O. box that you can write. And I'll be gladly to send you an autographed copy of the book, Telling of His Goodness, for a donation or offering of $13, including shipping and handling. Praise the Lord. So if you're going through whatever situation you may be going through in your life, I will appreciate it if you can write me, P.O. Box 1225, Cottonport, Louisiana, 71327. And that's my P.O. box. I've been praying for almost a year for a P.O. box, and God finally blessed me to get that box. So I appreciate it so much if you would write me with prayer requests, any comments, any questions, or whatever you may have. Praise God, and I will really truly answer you back. And meanwhile, the Lord blessed me even to go a little further. Amen. He blessed me to get my bookmark out, and if you will write to me, I'll be glad to mail you a bookmark or postcard. Praise the Lord. I'm excited because it's been 15 years in the making that I've been trying to get the bookmark that goes with the book out. And now, for such a time as these, the Lord has blessed me to get the bookmark, and I will really, I've been already giving them out. Praise the Lord. People have been blessed with the scripture on it, Psalms 27:13-14. Amen. And it will encourage your heart to always remember to tell of God's goodness, rehearsing of God's goodness, the testimonies that you've been through, that He brought you out of, through, that you can be reminded if He did it once, He'll do it again. Amen. That you can hold on by faith, knowing that, oh God, no good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I've been getting a lot of calls, even on Facebook. Praise the Lord. You can text me there. You can visit my page on Facebook.com at Telling of His Goodness book. Praise the Lord. And I thank the Lord for what He's doing, how He's moving in my life on this morning. I just want to update and rehearse on what God is doing in my life through the book. Praise the Lord. It's been really a blessing. And any of the proceeds from the book is to go right back into ministry. Amen. As soon as I seem like sell a book, it's going right back to the Lord's work. Praise the Lord. And meanwhile, you know, it's a blessing. And ones who buy, sometimes they give me an offering or whatever. They say, oh, keep the change. And it's being a blessing. You'd be surprised in so many ways that God is blessing, telling of His goodness ministry. And whereas we're so glad, and we're not selfish, and God is blessing us above measure. Praise God. And I thank the Lord for it, because we cannot out be the Lord giving. The more we give, the more He gives back to us. And this will help support the broadcast. If you're enjoying the ministry, please let me know. Amen. You know, we like to be encouraged and knowing if we should go on or if we should stop. Amen. But God got the ram in the bush. He knows who to send, who to give the call, who to encourage our hearts so we can take hope and take faith and know that God is doing it. He is moving. And the book is also available online. You may call 1-866-697-5313 if you would like to order with credit card, debit card, praise the Lord, to Inspiring Voices, and order the book through them even. But I do have some on hand that's autographed already. I will be so happy. I always get excited when it's time to mail out books, and you know the Lord is moving, that ones can be blessed. So whatever, ever you may be going through your life, whether it's financial, whether it's salvation, whether it's a healing, whether it's a deliverance, I touch on a little bit of it with my testimony and tell it of His goodness. Praise the Lord, for true that the Lord is good and He is worthy to be praised. And I love Him on this morning. I don't know about you, but I know I truly love the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Call to me at 318-305-6965 or write to me at P.O. Box 1225, Cottonport, Louisiana 71327. Praise God. Thank the Lord for you. Now, Father, I thank you. I praise you for my listeners, Lord. You know who will give to encourage my heart through writing, God. And I thank you and I praise you for who you are, Father. Oh, God, none like you. I thank you for salvation for this on this morning. I thank you for deliverance for once on this morning. And anything that they may have need of, that you will supply that need in the name of Jesus. For none can compare to you, Lord. Oh, we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise in Jesus' name. So praise the Lord for another morning. I love you. God bless you. And then tell someone of the Lord's goodness. Share testimony. Share about what He's done in and through your life. Praise the Lord. For truly, truly, we can't out be God given. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you and we love you. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory to your holy name, God. And until next week, the Lord willing, we shall continue on with a message that the Lord's laying on our hearts, a focus that God has given us in these days and times. And I thank and I praise you for listening. In Jesus' name, thank you, praise you, we love you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank God.
We thank you for tuning in to the Telling of His Goodness broadcast. We pray you were inspired, blessed, and encouraged from hearing the Word of God today. If you would like a copy of my book, Telling of His Goodness, you may phone me at 318-305-6965. You may like me on Facebook, connect with me on Google+ or Twitter. May God bless you until we meet again at the same time next week.
The wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this wonderful privilege to be in your house to study your word. We thank you for the Holy Ghost and his ability to explain your word and make it plain, whereby we might not only be hearers, but doers of your word. So, Lord, meet us in the text and take that you desire us to know and give it unto us in such a way that we can't reject it, but accept it, practice it, and receive the profit and give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Give God some praise as you are seated in his presence. Our study tonight is going to be abbreviated. We've got a presentation afterwards, and I certainly thank those of you who are here tonight and who have made the sacrifice to be here, not only for the study, but the presentation. And as I jump into the study tonight, I was in prayer and meditation about some of the things that will help us in our daily living and in our Christian walk. And this message, though it may seem elementary in the sense of us knowing these things, God wants his people to take life and live life on a whole nother level, and it begins by taking the word that we know and doing it. How many of us will be honest enough to know, say, that there are some things we already know about the word that we are not doing? And how many of us know that our lives would be changed if we just did what we know? Amen. Well, this is one of those thoughts tonight, and I'm going to walk through this here. I want you to know this, that kindness won't kill you. Tell your neighbor. Come on, say neighbor. Kindness won't kill you. Look at the other neighbor and say, neighbor, if you got one. Kindness won't kill you. And if you're sitting by yourself, you need to tell yourself, kindness won't kill you. Have you met some people that just seems like it just kills them to be kind? And then, you know, we want to dispel some myths about this. There are some who say that, some people, they just won't let you be kind to them. Anybody ever heard that? Well, that's not true, because kindness doesn't have to do with the recipient of the kindness. It has to do with the giver of the kindness. Now, there are some folk who, again, are hard to be kind to, especially if you're trying to do it in the flesh. How many of you know this kindness, you're going to have to do it in the spirit? Because you can look at some folk and they're just mean, hateful looking. It's hard. You got to bring that up from the deep wells of your reserve to say something kind to them, because you know how they're going to receive it, how they're going to act. But again, it should not cause you not to be kind because of who you are and whose you are. And it's so important, because, you know, we call ourselves saints, and yet in the church, you got folk with attitude, acting nasty, won't talk and speak to brothers and sisters. And when people in the world come out and see this kind of activity and actions and attitudes going on here, what's the difference between this and the world? At least you expect this in the world. You don't expect this among brothers and sisters of the faith. And so we're going to get into this tonight, because I think it's important, again, that we be refreshed. The Spirit of God has led me to this text again, or this thought, so that we can deal with this and deal with it. First, let's just look at kindness and see what kindness is defined as, because when we understand what kindness is, it will help us in just understanding what is expected. Kindness is having a sympathetic nature. It's being considerate, good, benevolent, and obliging. When you are kind, you're going to notice that when we get into the study of the word, that this word kindness is going to be in certain references substituted for love, because it's going to be very difficult for you to demonstrate kindness outside of the spirit of love. It is love that's going to be the motivating factor that's going to cause you to be kind. And that, of course, is the godly love, the agape love, out of which we show or share kindness. So when you have a sympathetic nature, It is you allowing, again, the love of God, the compassion of God in you, through you, to someone else. It doesn't necessarily have to do with you understanding or being able to identify with everybody in that situation, because you won't be able to do that with everybody. But if you have that sympathetic nature that God sees their situation and he's merciful in that same sense, you consider it. On and on and on. All of these things have to do with kindness. Hope that you jot them down and deal with them as you are able to. Divine kindness demonstrated. I want us to look in the Word right quick and see God as our supreme example of demonstrating kindness. And one of the things, again, that I think is important is that we understand, as God has given us an example of all that he's asked of us, when we see him as our Father is, so as his children should we be. And it's important that we understand God wants us to mimic he and Jesus in the same way that a father or a family expects of their children, mother and father, for their children to come up in that same kind of teaching and manner, etc., that they have implemented in their training. Psalms 31 and 21 says, "Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city." Now, again, some of the places, if you have a different translation, the word will be translated kindness as love in different ways. But again, remembering that the root of kindness evolves from love. And of course, that is the central reality of all that we do. We do it because of the love God has shared and shown to us, and we express that and extend that to others. Now, look at what the writer says. "Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me," this is demonstrated kindness now, "showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong or besieged city." Now, there are situations and circumstances, again, that we find ourselves in, and God is so wonderful and so marvelous in his love and his kindness toward us that even in situations that seem dire and stressed and strained, it's amazing how God, in spite of those things, is able to show us kindness when many of us can't be kind to our own selves. Listen again, because we're looking at divine kindness demonstrated. Psalm 117 and verse 2. Incidentally, this is the shortest what we call chapters. Those psalms do not complete, fulfill itself in chapters. They are numbers. So this would be Psalm number 117. And it's only two verses. Verse 1 says, "Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people." Why? Verse 2, "For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endured forever. Praise ye the Lord." Now, I talked about before his marvelous kindness. Now it's talking about his merciful kindness. May I ask a question? Is there anybody here tonight who's ever experienced his merciful kindness? Now, let me tell you the difference between merciful kindness and marvelous kindness. Now, the difference between the two, one is spotlighting God's ability to look beyond our faults, etc., in that same sense, and deliver us out of something that we may or may not have had something to do with happening to us. Sometimes we make choices, get ourselves in situations, but God is able to do so. But then the enemy sometimes traps us and tries to overthrow us and do so forth. God still comes, he protects us, he pulls us out of situations. But merciful kindness is when we don't deserve another chance, and in spite of that, he looks beyond our fault and blesses us, gives us another chance, ministers to us, helps us, restore us, on and on again. A good example of that is when we say we have prayed, asked God's forgiveness for the same thing so many times we can't count it. That's merciful kindness when he does that, demonstrated unto us. All of us have received that demonstrated merciful kindness in our lives. I want you to see Isaiah 54 and 8. Isaiah 54 and 8. Now again, this is demonstrated divine kindness here, and I need you to see how God operates, because when you understand this, you also understand how he deals with us today. Verse 8 says, "In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment." Listen, "but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. Now listen again, in a little wrath. Now God is so powerful and so awesome that there was no way that he could allow his wrath to linger more than a moment, a little while, because number one, he's a just God, but he's a merciful God. And because of who he is, he has to limit himself, because we couldn't handle his wrath if he released it all. As a matter of fact, this whole world could not handle it if God had released his wrath on us. So as a reality, God shows us a kindness that we don't deserve. Listen again at the text, because it says, in a little wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment. He had to get back from the situation because sin separates us from God. When we sin, that literally pulls us apart from fellowship with God. Sometime God has to walk away or else he will mess you up. See, some parents in parenting, sometimes when the child makes you that mad, you cannot take nothing and try and discipline that child at that moment. Any parents here understand what I'm saying? Sometimes that child make you so mad, you got to... And you got to get away, because if you hit that child at that point, you ain't got to worry about, you know, all these, that child be dead probably. With the force you would hit that. So you got to go away, separate yourself from that child till you calm down enough, and you still discipline them. You still discipline them, but you do it now with a more calm demeanor and with a more controlled ability. And that's what God did, because the sins of Israel had stunk so much in God's nostril till he literally wanted to annihilate them, and he literally had to restrain himself to keep from doing that. That's why the word says, in a little wrath, I hid my face from thee. Listen at this. How long did he do it? You know why he turned back? Because his love for them was so great. He didn't stay in that place. He turned for a moment to calm down, and then he turned back to them and he dealt with them. The Bible says, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee. All right, let's look at Nehemiah chapter 9. We're going to see God again dealing with his people and how different they deal with God. Now listen at this, because if you just read up a little bit, look, verse 16 says, of the ninth chapter of Nehemiah, verse 16, but they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments. Listen at verse 17, and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Now, while we're reading about historical Israel, couldn't some of that apply to some of us at some point in time in our own walk with God? I mean, there are times we had our necks stiff and our hearts hardened, and we would not obey God. We didn't do what we know he told us to do. We would not yield to him and surrender to him and submit to him. And listen at this. He sent Pharaoh. I mean, they dismissed all of the miracles that God had wrought in their lives. And I mean, with all of us, when God shows us his wonderful love and kindness and his grace and his favor and his unmerited love and favor to us, we sometimes take that for granted and think that he ought to do that in spite of. And yet we forget that what he did, he didn't have to do. He sends Moses to Pharaoh in Egypt, tells him to release his people, let his people go. He brings them out of bondage because after 430 years, he hears their cry and he finally answers them. Now they get out of it. They are delivered from it. They aren't even across the Red Sea, for they're telling Moses, you should have left us. Every now and then, I thank God I'm not Moses. I thank God I'm not God. Do you know that God knows there are some folk who just don't want to do better? God has some people that when he pulls them out of their mess, delivers them, bring them to another level, they're still looking back and wanting to do and be back down there in that muck and mire that he pulled them out. They don't have sense enough to enjoy being elevated and brought to another level, to another place in God. They'd rather be back in the comfort of their sins and their shortcomings because it's easier for them to deal that way. Now look what they did. They hired them. Hire. It's one thing to go back. It's another thing to get somebody to take you back to the mess. Look at what the text says. They hired, if you will, somebody, as they said, they refused, neither were they mindful of the wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks and their rebellion. In their rebellion, appointed a captain to return to their bondage. Now, when you are out of the will of God, and you don't want to be in the will of God, it's amazing how you associate with other folk out of the will of God. Because you know other folk out of the will of God aren't going to be talking about the will of God. So when you know, it's like when you know you're wrong, you get with some other folk who's going to support you in your wrong. You don't want to go where you can get no real answers. You don't want to go where nobody's going to tell you, now, baby, you're wrong. You need to do such and such. You want to go there with somebody, well, I understand. I've been there too. So when you really want to change, you need to get around folk who are in the place where you want to be. Don't get around folk who are just going to support you in your wrong, because it's really not going to help you. It's not going to get you out of it. It's not going to make you progress further. You're going to have to look at that. But when you appoint folk to take you back into your bondage, that's saying to God, look, I thank you, but no thank you. I'd just rather stay in the stuff I'm in. I want you to see this. As we move on to biblical demonstration of kindness, I just want to pull up one for an example, since our time is short tonight. If you will, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 28. Familiar scripture to the saints. You'll know Paul was on his way to see the emperor and to be sentenced, as were the other men on this ship. And they passed in a place where the ship got stuck and it broke up. And they found themselves on a little island called Melita. And the text reads as this, Acts 28 chapter verse 1 and 2. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. They escaped the sea with their lives, because some made it on broken parts of the ship. Some were able to swim. And they all made it safely, because Paul had a dream and told them if none would jump overboard, stay together, they would all make it safely. And so they did. But verse 2 says, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. There's another translation, Life Application or somewhat, says, the barbarous people showed us unusual kindness. Now, look at the situation, because barbarous people does not suggest that they were barbaric, that they were inhumane and uncivil, but it says that, and the reference is that they did not speak the language of the Jewish people or the Gentiles. In this case, they spoke different languages, and so they were called barbarous people. Now, though they didn't understand the same nor speak the same language, these islanders saw and knew that these people's ship had been shipwrecked, and these folk came out of cold, chilly waters. It was still raining, the wind was blowing, and the least that they could do was start a fire for them to help them be warm. Now listen at this, because I want you to understand this. There were many ships historically that got shipwrecked in this strategic point, and they were not unfamiliar with helping folk. That was something they did whenever that situation arose. But I want you to see something here as well. When they helped the people, they helped the people first before they ever tried to judge the people. These people, because many, this was the path to the journey to the emperor. These were, again, were familiar ships. They knew that were ships carrying prisoners and murderers, muggers, robbers, rapists, etc. But here again, when that need arose, they immediately took care of the needs. Later, they're going to bring some judgment on them, but the first thing they did was took care of the need. Let me tell you about kindness. When people are hurting, they don't need your judgment to be passed on them when they need help. You know, regardless what they were still that wet or dry. they were still that hungry or full. And I've said before, when people miss it, nobody knows it better than the people who missed it, that they missed it. They don't need you throwing that in their face. When you look at the prodigal son, Luke 15, you're going to discover one of the things the father never did was throw in his son's face, "I told you so." When the son came to himself, lost everything he had, was down in the pig's pen, and gathered himself together